Les colloques du Collège de France.
Okay, so I guess we can start now, and so it's my pleasure to introduce Sébastien Arès de Parga, who is currently a postdoc in Barcelona. He got his PhD last year, actually, and he got Fulbright recognition in order to go and work with Charbel Farah, and I met him in
Zaragoza.
In Zaragoza, yes, but this was in
November.
In November, okay. And I was impressed by both the result and the presentation. And then we started to work together, yeah. And so I am very happy that he is here to present. And so it's also very nice to see that the new generation is arriving and working on this kind of field. So,
okay.
The floor is yours.
I'm just gonna test this. Okay. So thank you very much for the invitation, and thank you all for coming. I hope mainly that at least you get a high level idea of what we are doing. So I made the presentation very deductive, such that you will have also fun, I hope, and you will wake up from the lunch. So this is this is a work that I have been doing in collaboration with Professor Yvonne Madey. I didn't exactly know how to come out with a proper name, but let's say that in general, if I have to describe, we are working on nonlinear projection-based reducible models. And we are doing a comparative assessment on what we call the nonlinear closure and manifold strategies. So to motivate this, we know that in current engineering, especially during the design and validation stage, we often need to perform a lot of costly prototypes in order to assess how our physical assets work. So sometimes we would like to have some sort of digital replica that will allow us to find the response of our physical asset by means of computational models. However, we often know that these computational models, although they are very, very accurate, they often come at a huge price in terms of computational cost and time. And therefore, it pays off to perform some sort of surrogate model of the, in this case, it would be what I'm going to be presenting is a reduced order model. So let us take the case where we have the Ahmed body automotive benchmark problem. What you will have to do is that you will have to likely use traditional CFD simulations that will take up 240 cores, so more than 10 hours, in order to obtain only 0.2 seconds of your simulations. But I have shown in one of my papers that with a reduced order model, you will be able, or you should be able, to drop it down to only 8 cores in less than 2 minutes to get this very good prediction. So again, to motivate the reduced order models, they come whenever you need to use or solve your full order model, either for several times or you need some sort of real-time decision making. It pays off then to perform what it's called an offline stage, or also referred to as a training stage in the machine learning community, where you will have some results coming from the full order model in order to process this data and build what it's called a reduced order model that will give you an output or a result in a fraction of the cost. So these reduced order models can be classified by the level of intrusiveness, being the non-intrusive one, the ones that require no PDE access at all, and the ones that are require total access and also modification are dubbed as intrusive reduced order models, where these reduced order models works in the following way, that you will input some parameter to the reduced order model, and then this reduced order model will give you an output of the state approximation or some quantity of interest. So some examples that we're gonna be looking, I suppose, during these conferences can come from the non-intrusive side, being, for instance, the very popular, the POD, coupled with some sort of interpolation method such as an RBF or a neural network, or we could be talking about a dynamic mode decomposition. And there is something in between that is a hybrid reduced order model, or also called a semi-intrusive reduced order model, that you require partial access to the PDE, either by trying to infer the operators from the data or trying to use the physics to train your neural network. And the ones that I'm going to be presenting to you today are mostly based on the intrusive side, especially the Galerking and LSPG projection based ones. So the full order model we are describing could be talking about multiphysics problems. So we could be talking about the structural dynamics, or we could be talking about model problems such as a moving discontinuity, or more complex flows such as those governed by the Navier-Stokes equations, right? And all of us use different discretization methods in order to get a fully discrete residual formulation that will yield, if not millions, maybe billions of degrees of freedom, where you will solve this by means of nonlinear strategies such as a Newton-Raphson, where it entails solving a problem that it's of the millions of unknowns that you discretize your problem in. And therefore, you will most likely require the use of high-performance computing. So what we aim with the projection-based reduced order model is to try to find a reduced set of equations. So that means exactly, or trying to get exact same equations from the full order model and project them into a smaller subspace and then to solve this. However, so we're looking to solve some equations of the size of five or maybe 10, not hundreds. So in order to show how we build this, let us take the simple Imbisit-Burgers equation, the 1D, where we have two parameters. One is on the source term and the other one is on the left boundary condition. And what you will need to define in your reduced order model first is your parameter domain, right? So in this case, we have a very simple parameter domain. So it's a pair of nine pair of parameters mu1 and mu2. We have nine different points. Then each one of these points has a response in the PDE. So it's a transient problem. As you can see here, this is advocated to this point. So you can see that the dynamics are very different from this point to this other. And each one of them is a snapshots matrix, where each component is a vector of the full solution. And you will most likely gather the snapshots matrix of each one of these simulations and put them into a bigger snapshots matrix, right? So once you have this, you will most likely not gather only these three points that I showed you for visualization, but you will run the nine different simulations that you will use to train your model. You will put them into your snapshots matrix, and there he comes, perhaps the most important part of reduced order modeling, which is the dimensionality reduction. In this case, I will perform the traditional PCA via the singular value decomposition in order to perform a proper orthogonal decomposition approximation, where we will keep the first modes to be our spatial modes excited by the parameters ranging that we are considering, right? So given that we have this new operator, we will just have to go back and for a specific solution in a time step of our problem, what we will do is just that we will use the same operator on its transpose in order to project our high-dimensional solution that was of the order of the millions of degrees of freedom into a very small set of generalized coordinates, which is of much smaller dimension than this one. And in order to recover back your approximation, you will just have to use the same operator to multiply your set of coefficients. So you can see here that this is some sort like an autoencoder, although this could be seen as the best linear autoencoder that you can have. So with this in mind, the following question arises: how can we use this technology, or how can we find the new set of unknowns for a training point that we have not seen in our training data? And for that, we will have to go back to what I was just telling you, the original full order model. The first thing that you can do is just go ahead and substitute your approximation by this operator times the new unknown. So you can see that you are no longer looking for a problem that has millions of degrees of freedom, but you are looking for a problem that has maybe 5 to 10 unknowns, right? In order to make this square, you project with the Galerkin projection, and then you will finally obtain the reduced set of equations that I was talking to you about before. However, it is well known, as also shared before the launch, that just performing the first step of the projection-based reduced order model is not sufficient. So even though you're solving a very subset of a small subset of equations, this scales, this doesn't give you a proper speed up. And this is because we still are scaling with a full order model or high dimensional model, in the sense that to build, for instance, the right hand side, I'm going to show you on the following animation that you still need to loop through all of the elements. For instance, let us take the finite element case in which we have the full order model mesh and we will build the reduced order model. So the reduced order model will be of size 2, to make it simple. We will have to go on each one of these elements, and we will have to build the elemental basis, which is of the size of the number of modes times the number of degrees of freedom of your element. So you will multiply this, you will perform this matrix to vector multiplication, where this is the right-hand side. And you will see that you will do this matrix to vector multiplication on each one of the elements. So even though this is a right-hand side that is of the size of 2, you still need to loop through all of the elements. So of course, if we are talking about a very small problem, this doesn't seem like a bottleneck, but in reality, we will be talking about a summation over millions of elements. So you will most likely like to find something that looks like a quadrature approximation. And for that, they exist current hyper-reduction techniques, such as the one presented just before, but you also have already existing ones such as the empirical curvature method or the energy conserving sampling and weighting, where it will give you a subset of elements, and to each one of these subset of elements, it will allocate one positive weight, and this is for stability conditions and for conservation, in such a way that you will no longer need to loop through all of the elements. You will only need to loop to this new subset of elements, perform the exact matrix to vector multiplication, but you will have a scalar of a positive weight in order to do a very good approximation of your problem. So once you do this, you have a hyper-reduced order model, and you will be able to build the same or a very good approximation of the reduced set of equations only by means of a few selected elements. So this is where we typically get a huge speed up in projection-based reduced order models. So now that I am talking about convection-dominated and transport problems, I gotta mention that even though I showed the Galerkin projection just for being deductive, the Galerkin projection is not going to be optimal for these transport problems. And it is well known in the literature that you will most likely need to do least squares minimization using the least square Petrov-Galerkin projection, where you aim to minimize the residual on the L2 norm. However, in very few words, you will end up with a slightly different projection than the one that I was showing, but you will still be solving a problem that is of very small dimensions, right? So let us go back to the problem that I was talking about, the Burgers equation. You build the 9 different training points, you gather the snapshots matrix, you perform the POD, and then you go ahead and plot the singular value decay. So this case is well known to exhibit the Kolmogorov-Inquart barrier, which is nothing but telling us that you will need to keep a lot of modes in order to do a fairly good approximation. So practically, it's always better to see this. So if I were to build a projection-based reduced order model out of 9 modes, you will have the approximation here shown in blue, which is a very bad approximation. However, as we keep growing, we can see that with 40, we are now capturing the moving discontinuity, but we have some oscillations coming on. So it could be a good engineering approximation, but it's not like a faithfully approximation yet. And it is not until you go to 160 modes that you get a fairly good approximation of this problem. So given said this, the following question started to arrive. So can't we move forward towards something more nonlinear? Can we make, for instance, an autoencoder that yields or it's depending on some linear or nonlinear encoding and nonlinear decoding? And for that, I would like to take one example that I found very, very nice to be documented on one of the proposals of one paper from Karen Wilcox, where they use this trajectory defined by, in the paper, it was only defined by a second harmonic. In this case, I added a third harmonic, but I will show you why I added this. But let us stick first to the linear manifold approximation that I have here, the definition. So if I were to do a POD on this black Pringle-like trajectory, and I will have to keep only 2 modes, my linear manifold will be spanning a plane. So that means that the best approximation that I can do will have to live on that plane, and therefore I will never be able to do a good approximation with a problem of dimension 2, right? So if we want to mitigate the Kolmogorov-Inquart barrier, the linear approximation has some limitations to that. So perhaps some of the first steps towards nonlinear reduced order modeling was by introducing the piecewise linear approximation, which is taking the same trajectory, performing some clustering or splitting of the data, and perform local basis. So that means that instead of having one global basis, you will have, for instance, in this case, four bases of size two, in such a way that when you make the union of them, you can see that we can make a fairly good approximation of this nonlinear manifold. A totally nonlinear manifold approximation was introduced, I believe, by Karen Wilcox et al. At least it was my first paper that I read towards this quadratic manifold approximation in reduced order modeling, where you can see that we are not only now taking into account the linear part, but we are also taking into account the quadratic part. This is kind of like the Kronecker product of this generalized set of coordinates, in such a way that if you started from the linear approximation, this quadratic part will allow you to blend your linear manifold into a quadratic manifold approximation. But as you can see here, even if you add a bit of a different curvature to the manifold, as I did when I added the third harmonic, the quadratic manifold seems to be a bit, or let's say that it will not be able to recover an arbitrarily nonlinear manifold. So, for that, I moved towards some technology that was first introduced by Joshua Barnett, Professor Farhat, and Professor Yvonne Madej, where they named it the closure-based nonlinear manifold strategy or approximation, where we will have two set of modes, one which are the primary set of modes, and I will go into the details about this on the next slides. And we have the discarded set of modes that will be the other modes that you didn't consider to be the first, and the secondary generalized set of coordinates, so the ones that were discarded, will be learned via an arbitrarily nonlinear map. So that will tell us that we will be able to, or at least we will be capable of trying to find an arbitrarily nonlinear manifold approximation. So given said this, if I give you the perfect linear manifold for a projection-based reduced order model, so you can call it the linear one, you can call it the quadratic one, the piecewise linear, or this closure-based manifold approximation, the projection-based reduced order model theory still tells you that in order to solve this problem, we will still depend on the local derivative or tangent on the space by projection. So that means that the projection of the residual will depend on the derivative of what I call the general decoder, where the general decoder could be the linear manifold, the quadratic manifold, etc. So this doesn't come just out of nothing. It comes from the LSPG optimality condition, where we minimize the residual, we yield the first order optimality condition, and with that we end up with the Gauss-Newton incremental set of equations that will be of the size of the number of modes that you were able to keep as low as your latent space dimension. So, given said what I just exposed, I want to go a bit on the details, on the practical details on how you could build this nonlinear manifold. So, we will start from the point that we are no longer going to be able to keep as low as 5 or 10 modes as we wanted. So even in this very simple case of 1D Burger's equation, we can see that we need to keep 160 modes. So this n tot that I'm talking about here will be of the size of 160. However, what you can do is that you can split your basis into a set of primary modes, as I said before, and a set of secondary modes. So you will most likely want to have this as close as the intrinsic dimension of your problem. So if your problem is of size 3 on parameters, you want to keep it or 3 or 4 or something as close as that. It depends on the data. We are doing a lot of effort into trying to find the best way to come closer to the intrinsic dimension of the problem, but you want to keep this as low as possible. So let us say that this is of size 10, and therefore this will be of size 150. And till this point, I haven't done any approximation. I just have split my linear approximation into a primary set of modes times some primary generalized coefficients plus the what we called secondary or discarded modes and secondary and generalized coefficients. So at the end of the day, it is the same as if I were taking the whole basis of size 160 and I will just multiply by the union of these two. However, we can see that from here, as I said before, we have established a very small set of primary generalized coordinates, which are often, at least in this proposal, selected to be the most energetic ones. And we have a set of secondary generalized coordinates. And what Professor Madej and Charbat and Farhad proposed was to build an arbitrarily nonlinear map at this level. So this is very good because you are not scaling with the size of the high dimensional model. So it is a neural network that goes from 10 to 160. And perhaps you can build, as in this paper, a neural network for that. But I have also proved that you could build any other nonlinear mapping, especially the GPRs and the radial basis functions are very good whenever you don't have a lot of data and you want to have an analytical expression. Because as I said, we will make use of the tangent of this operator. So even though you have the automatic differentiation in the neural network, here you have a completely analytical expression, or you could also have some sort of uncertainty quantification out of your prediction. So the next question here is also, is it always the best case to use the primary generalized coordinates for this nonlinear mapping? What about the cases where there is a strong relation between your parameters of the problem and the data, or you have a lot of data? So this is one of the things that we want to explore here. And for that, let me show you very easily one motivation of when you want to use the parameters instead of just doing the coefficients. Let us say that I want to go as low as the size of the intrinsic dimension of the problem. So I didn't put it here, sorry for that, but the problem only depends on the time in this trajectory. So if I were to do the POD, that will mean that this line in blue that you see here would be the linear space that we will be, or this will be our subspace. And therefore you can see that if I pick this crossed point and I see this exact trajectory from the top, at this point I will have two possible outputs. So that means that I have a problem of multivalueness, and therefore most likely I will need to introduce something more than just the naive coefficient. For that, you could, on the second case, keep only one mode and reconstruct everything that you discarded out of the parameters directly. So you can see here that I am no longer depending on these generalized coefficients, and I am going to be able to fully recover this nonlinear manifold approximation. So the third case, which is perhaps a natural case to try, is that you could try to use both of them. So there is no restriction into using both the generalized coefficient and the parameter. And this is particularly very, from the point of view of accuracy, this would be the best case from my point of view. Why? Because it avoids the multiplicity of solutions, but also it has the dynamics inside the projection-based reduced order model. So you are using or informing the reduced order model out of these latent generalized coordinates. So the summary here of the three different cases that we're going to be testing is the case one, which is only depending on the Q, the case two, which is only depending on the mu, and the hybrid case, which is depending on the Q and the mu. And just to mention here, without going into the details, we can discuss that in another session, but the tangent will be slightly different because, for instance, for the case two, there is no direct dependence of the nonlinear map with respect to the latent dimension. So perhaps Andrea Manzoni will be asking, oh, I have a very similar idea. Why don't you try to do it? So yes, I read your paper and Stefania's paper on the POD deep learning, which was basically, it's a bit similar to what I'm proposing. But here, let us forget about this decoupling or separation of the Q and the Q bar, and let us keep all the generalized coordinates. So instead of me saying, okay, this has to be the latent manifold variables, you can build an autoencoder at this level. They proposed an autoencoder based also on convolutional 1D neural networks. I did it here fully connected, but it could be your autoencoder of preference. But as you can see, we're going to let the autoencoder decide which are the best coordinates that describe our dynamics to compress the POD. So in general, this is very good as well, because we are first performing the stage of reduction via the proper orthogonal decomposition, and then we're building the artificial neural network at the level of the coefficient. So this is highly effective. You don't scale with a high dimension. However, it was yet to be tested within intrusive, I think there's only one paper that has been doing this, which is the paper by Giovanni Stabile, Gianluigi Rosa, and Romor, where they put this into the intrusive approach. But I think they did it with collocation hyperreduction. And for me, I think that is too risky, because those hyperreductions are not very stable. So I wanted to check what about with the project then approximate hyperreduction. So here I'm just showing the exact same case, but with this latent manifold approximation that we have. And it, of course, is doing a very good approximation even with the size of one. So another two things. So we have been talking a lot about intrusive reduced order models, but I myself always find it very natural and very fair to always make the comparison to non-intrusive reduced order models, because we never know when we need to use one or the other. So the two non-intrusive reduced order models that I will also be talking about today is the ones that go directly from the parameters to the coefficient space. And specifically, I'm going to use the POD coupled with a neural network. So it's just a mapping between the parameters and the Q-tot. And then I built one that was based on the POD deep learning approach, which is at the same time that you are building this autoencoder, you're building in parallel the parameter to latent dimension best approximation. So it's kind of like a coupled problem. So, however, these are totally non-intrusive. You are not solving anything. You are just doing a prediction. So let us go back to, or let us propose the benchmark. So as of now, we have been proving this or testing this on a very simple benchmark problem, which is the 2D Burgers equation, where we have the exact same parameters that I was showing you before. We train on the same, I just want to show you here that we have now two moving discontinuities, one on the X direction and one on the Y direction. And we train on the same space that I was showing you before. So we have 9 training points, and we're gonna be testing on 4 different points. So the first point is a verification point. It was just for us to make sure that everything was working perfectly and to see how well it reproduces the same training data. And then we have 2 off-grid points within the domain it was trained. So it is inside of what it was expected to be working. And then I'm going to do a stress test. What happens when we go out of the domain, which is something that you might experience when you are building a digital twin in real conditions. So very, very, very high level. Please don't pay too much attention for now here. But one of the things, one proposal by Professor Yvonne Madey, I am not saying don't pay attention, but I'm just saying don't pay attention, because this can be a bit confusing just to try to read. But in general, we're not doing the POD on a Euclidean norm way. So we're introducing a W matrix that is defined by the physical state weighting. So whenever you have a problem that has different, weird structured mesh, on a structured mesh, this will take into account the physical state weighting. But also, since we are learning secondary coefficients and primary set of coefficients, we are adding some sort of LSPG residual sensitivity that will help us drop down the dependence of the discarded modes, or let's say that it will affect less an error on the discarded modes than on the primary set of modes. And another thing is that the way that we are going to prepare this model is that we run the 9 different simulations. We perform the POD. We have a basis of size 150 for a very accurate linear HP-ROM. We build the linear HP-ROM with the ECM or the empirical curvature method. You could be doing it with the ECSW as well. And this is a slight note, is that we wanted to make, since the problem, the linear HP-ROM was already very accurate, we wanted to rerun the 9 different simulations in order to get the coefficients coming from the reduced order model to be P-ROM consistent. And then we will learn each one of the nonlinear maps. So I have a summary of all the things that I have just said, because I know I have introduced many things and I just want to have a summary of what we're going to be comparing with. So our lower bound will be the linear HP-ROM of size 151. We have then the three cases of the HP-ROM ANN. So we have the case where the secondary set of modes depends on Q, the one that depends on the parameters, and the one that depends on a combination of both. And then I have adopted the intrusive version. I call it here POD autoencoder, just for the purposes of you not getting confused with the non-intrusive POD deep learning one. But basically, it's the same technology, just as that this one does project a residual. So as you can see, with the nonlinear reduced order model, we managed to drop it down to 10. We could manage to drop it down a bit, even more, adding a bit of inaccuracy. But for now, let us stick with 10. And then the non-intrusive ones are built upon directly from the parameters to 150 modes. And then from the parameter to the 10, the latent dimension, the build from the autoencoder here. So let us do some qualitative and quantitative comparison. So here on the top, we have the linear HP-ROM. So this is our lower bound. It will be the best that we can do. So this is below 0.5% of error. It is giving us a speed up of around 8 to 9. And we have the nonlinear HP-ROMs to be of the HP-ROM ANN, the classical one, to be 40 times faster than the full order model. And we have also the POD autoencoder one being 45 times faster without compromising that much the accuracy. You can see here that it is performing very well, the moving discontinuity. Now, if we go to another test point, and now we compare the three different cases, and by three different cases, I remind you, I have the HP-ROM ANN that depends only on the generalized coefficients, the other one that works like an injective, and the other one that works with both of them, we can see that the best inaccuracy is the third case, which was what I was expecting, because you have both the information of the parameters and the dynamics of the problem within the latent variables. And the case two is the one that is giving us more speed up, because you simplify the problem. The Gauss-Newton is no longer looking into the directions of this nonlinear manifold. However, you can see that we are introducing a bit less of accuracy. Still, it is very accurate for now. So now let us compare the same point that we were doing before. Against this is the best nonlinear intrusive reduced order model. And in here we have the two non-intrusive reduced order models. So as you can see, they are doing a fairly good job, especially the POD deep learning one. It is giving us an error of 1.5%. However, the speed up is 3 order of magnitudes faster. So of course, in terms of the speed up, there is nothing to compare. The problem is a very well problem to make use of a non-intrusive reduced order model. However, we often use this as a benchmark for intrusive reduced order model, because it kind of shows us the Kolmogorov-Penguin barrier. But it's a very well described problem from the parameter to the solution. However, this is just like a summary table. We went down from 120,000 degrees of freedom to 10 degrees of freedom for the intrusive ones. And we have a mean error where the projection-based reduced order models are in general more accurate, except for the case two, which is on the same level of the non-intrusive one, which is something that we are not very happy with, but we're sure that we still need to work on this to make it more consistent with the projection. And of course, in terms of the speed up, as I said before, even though the intrusive ones are giving us very good speed up for this very small problem, the non-intrusive ones are winning by a lot in terms of speed up. However, as I said before, there are no physics inside this. Now, let us go to perhaps the last test that I wanted to perform, because I wanted to win in something in the intrusive, even in this very simple case, which is going outside the training domain. So as you can see here, all of the left are intrusive reduced order models. And on the right, I have the ones that tend to be non-intrusive. Well, this is intrusive, but it's like a hybrid intrusive with injection. And then we have these non-intrusive reduced order models that, as you can see, for these unseen cases, we were on the order of 2% or less. Even for the linear HP ROM, we have less than 1%. Whereas for the non-intrusive, we went up to 10% and 5%. So we all know that the non-intrusive are not the best in extrapolating. However, I want to make, this is not the most, well, this is just to compare that we see a drop in accuracy, especially these are the 3 points inside the domain, and this is the point outside the domain. We can see that we have a lot of a drop of accuracy, specifically for the ones that are non-intrusive. However, one of the things that we are testing is on the enrichment of reduced order modeling via chip simulation. So, as I showed before, the linear HP-ROM can reproduce very well the full order model. It is much faster and it can go outside the training domain. So one thing that one could do is perhaps do a first full order model set of simulations and then perform a secondary training stage, which is just building an HP-ROM and then doing, for instance, in this case, 36 different simulations via Latin Hypercube sampling in such a way that we aim not to change the POD, but to enrich the neural networks that we are training. So if we do that, we can see that for all cases, including the non-intrusive, when we make use of the accuracy of the linear HP-ROM to enrich the artificial neural network, so we are adding more data, we are improving a lot for the verification point, the accuracy of all of both the non-linear intrusive ones and the non-linear non-intrusive reduced order model. So you can see that we can go as low as less than 1% for the non-intrusive with this enrichment. And in general, I want to conclude that as for now, we're still working. So one of the very good things that I have seen here is that it is always good to first build, or it is a good practice in nonlinear reduced order models to first build a very accurate reduced order model in order to try to improve or understand the nonlinear reduction in intrusive reduced order models. I don't want to conclude myself on the different three cases, but what I have seen is that the case one in general works well when permitted. However, you are subjected to multi-value problem instability sometimes. Whereas for the one that is directly from the parameters, it's the fastest one. However, at least in this case, I have seen that it is it behaves a bit like a non-intrusive reduced order model at some point. And the case three is among the three of them will be the best closure that you can have, because you have both, as I said again, the dynamics and the parameter setting. And I have also tested for myself. I'm very happy with the technology of the POD autoencoder as another alternative whenever you are able to do this autoencoder or you have a lot of data. So this is a very robust alternative to the HP-ROM ANN, which is a good contribution to the community on intrusive reduced order modeling. And what remains open, there are a lot of things that remains open, but the natural thing is that, of course, the Burgers test is a very academic case, but I would like to see this in a compressible Navier-Stokes equation setting or something more challenging like the Maxwell equations. And of course, the next direction will be also, maybe, is there a way to properly select better generalized coordinates than the first or more energetic, which is a fairly good question. And the other one is that since the manifold can be locally very aggressive or very highly nonlinear, I am exploring also in collaboration with Professor Farhat extending the piecewise linear manifold approximation with the piecewise nonlinear manifold approximation. And this was also motivated by the work, the recent work of Professor Madej et al. On the Kolmogorov, when Kolmogorov meets Taylor, where they show that locally, you could, in general, represent your problem with the size of the parameters. So if we split our manifold to be the most local possible, we are hoping that we can always try to bring it down as low as the size of the parameter. So this was everything that I prepared for you today. I really hope that you enjoy it, and thank you very much. I'll be happy to answer anything.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.